Hello, and welcome to the Keep Talking podcast from Staffordshire University with me, your host, Adam Grattan. Over the next five episodes, I'll be bringing you the thoughts, feelings, and practices of those involved with the Keep Talking project, and an insight into the importance in both supporting and improving the future of local communities here in Stoke-on-Trent, as we all begin to come out of many months of lockdown. With so much currently going on in the world and our daily lives consumed with the coronavirus pandemic, it can perhaps feel like there is little time for people's day-to-day lives and indeed the communities each of us live in. However, over the past 12 months, a team of community researchers made up of volunteers from Staffordshire University's Get Talking project and community interests company Expert Citizens have been showing just how important the need to work together with our local communities is. Through their time together, they too have formed a community of their own and building an important friendships on their way to sharing lived experiences which they are now using to help others in need of support. In order to find out more about just where the idea came from and the impact Keep Talking hopes to have, I caught up with Staffordshire University's Lead for Civic Engagement and Evaluation, Nicola Grattan, who has been overseeing the project. Nicola, you're the Lead for Civic Engagement at Staffordshire University, and you've been working with a group of community researchers to support them in delivering the Keep Talking project. Where did that all start, and what's the intended impact of that going forward?
Keep Talking is a UKRI-funded project through the Enhancing Place-Based Partnerships for Public Engagement Fund. It's led by Staffordshire University in partnerships with Expert Citizens CIC, both based in Stoke-on-Trent. The project follows on from a project last year in 2019 called Get Talking Hardship, which was commissioned by the Hardship Commission in Stoke-on-Trent, where we work with over 40 community researchers to understand the experiences of people in hardship and poverty in Stoke-on-Trent. And the aim of this project is to understand how universities and community organisations can work better together to support long-term sustainable community research teams so that they can have a positive impact on their place. So before the lockdown, due to the global pandemic, we were meeting really regularly. We spent lots of time eating together and chatting. And our research project was very informal and very participatory. And our move to lockdown posed a few challenges. We had to adapt the way that we were working quite quickly to make sure that the well-being of the community research team was at the forefront of everything that we did. And so we spent a lot of time with the group thinking about the best way for each of those individuals to carry on engaging with the project. And for some of them, it was quite creative and lots of poetry and photography. For some of them, it was baking. And so we've developed a recipe book around some of those recipes that got people through lockdown. And we've also been working with people on a Keep Talking survival kit for lockdown. So we've spent time with people and those community researchers really thinking about how by carrying on engaging with the Keep Talking project, we can carry on being a community and we can support each other through quite a difficult time. And I think that's really important because when we get to the end of lockdown or as things start to ease, what we are going to really need is a really strong and resilient community research team to help us address particularly those issues of hardship and poverty, but also all of those other issues that are going to be coming up around the city over the next months and years.
One of the community researchers, Phil Parks, who over the last several years has had to deal with addiction and homelessness, spoke to me about how he feels the impact of isolation has had on him, but also about how his own experiences have gone into supporting those in the local communities and how he sees the future of the Keep Talking project and his work with Expert Citizens helping those communities once we come out of lockdown. Being involved with the community research project, Expert Citizens, the Keep Talking project, what has it meant for you being a community researcher as a whole?
I think it's the same as it has with being an expert citizen and just do it like following this path that I seem to have been following for the past like 5 years. It's the whole thing of that my past wasn't, well, it wasn't great, but it doesn't define me. It doesn't define the person I am. It means that, and there is the light, there's a light at the end of the tunnel for everybody. It's just seeing that for yourself. Obviously, I saw it, but didn't see it properly, like, until very recently, but I did see a glimmer of it. And it's, I think, being a part of the community research team and being a part of Expert Citizens, it's helping highlight the pitfalls in the system and the places where people who could be wanting to go on the same similar route that I went and start to piece together the life and start to come out of the addiction or the mental health problem or whatever it is that they were dealing with. There's pitfalls in the system where those people are slipping through the cracks and not being picked up. So I feel like the work I do with EC, as well as the community research stuff, it's going in, it's shining a light on these pitfalls and also shining a light on the good practice that's going on. So it's trying to develop a system where we can eventually stop people from falling through the cracks. And I think that as well has helped me with my mental health as well, because I know that the stuff that I've been through has actually got a use now that I can actually use my lived experience to identify with individuals who I'm talking to certain things and use that rapport where I can build up with people to get them on board and help them to see things in a different way or identify places where they can go and they're more likely to listen to me because I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt type of thing.
Why do you think or feel community is important for the researcher role?
I think that we've all got a role to play. I think that if you're, like I say, I've always believed that if you're one of the people who believe that you know everything, you are that, then you know nothing, because you can learn something off everybody. So I've got a wealth of experience in what I do, but there's loads of areas that I know very little about where, say, Terry or Darren, for instance, or somebody else who's had a different lived experience than I have, has got a better knowledge of something and I can pick up things from them. So it's, I think, having a good community of people of different lived experiences, some people of different backgrounds, I think it's essential, to be honest, because I don't feel like if you have somebody all from the same background, all had the same experience, they're not going to be looking into this, they're not going to be looking at every avenue. Whereas if you've got people who've had different experiences, different backgrounds, everybody's going to have a different point of view about it. Everybody's going to have a different theory about how to go about it. And if you have a good open conversation and pick out the best parts of what everybody's saying and try to go about it in the right way, then you're more likely going to get a more open and rounded end product, and that could only be a good thing.
How have you been kept or felt you've been kept involved with the community research role, Expert Citizens, Keep Talking, since the lockdown has been in place?
Well, like I said, I think obviously with Expert Citizens, we've been having 3 Zoom calls a week, and with the community research, I've got the Keep Talking stuff. I've got the other 2 students from Stafford Uni, the Rosie and Sophia, are doing 2 separate community research projects as well. And we've all set up social media groups. We've all set up different forms of communication. And I think it's been a case of, it's not all gone perfectly. There's been mishaps along the way, but I think every area tried the best to try and identify the best ways of keeping in touch with everybody and going about it as best they can. Like I say, there's been mishaps, and there's been little areas where there's been miscommunication, but I think everybody's trying the best. Everybody wants the same end goal. Everybody wants people to stay involved and to actually make a difference. And I think that as long as everybody keeps striving towards that same end goal, that people will continue to try and work the best they can and keep people involved. And I felt that everybody who's been on the team, everybody wants to see change, wants to see positive change. So it's kept me wanting to keep coming back, even when there has been that slight miscommunication and I have felt they're like kind of ignored a little bit. And then I've known that it's come from a good place and I've come back in. So knowing that everybody wants the same thing, is, and there has been efforts to communicate with everybody, has kept me wanting to keep coming back. So it's been a good thing.
And going forward, you know, as we start, the pandemic starts to drop off and lockdown eases and we get through to the back end of the year of 2020 going forward, how do you think the work that Keep Talking project and community researchers, what do you think they can do to support communities going forward for the rest of the year?
I think they need to show how we've been working during this pandemic, during this lockdown, and to show that as long as, I can repeat myself again here, but as long as you've got a drive and a passion and you want to get things done, that, and you explore other areas of other ways of doing things, you don't just have your this is the way we're going to be doing it, or we can't do this when we can't do it, because that we, obviously this pandemic and this lockdown has shown that to be false, that there's tons of places, tons of companies, tons of people who've had a certain procedure, a certain way of working for years and years and years, and if you didn't follow their way of working, that nothing happened. And now since everybody, because out of necessity, has had to change their way of working, we've discovered that more people are engaging, more people are doing this. So I think if we can continue to show this, and continue to show that we've changed ways of working during coronavirus, during this pandemic, and it's been effective, other people have done that and it's been effective, we need to continue to do this, even though like our normal modus operandi, our normal ways of working are back. We need to still continue to explore other methods. I think that it could be a positive to go forward.
Considering the issues you've had to deal with, over the last several years, what do you think the research projects and community projects like Keep Talking can do to specifically support people like yourself?
It's still along those lines of making sure voices are heard. That there's tons of people like myself who, or even extremely different from myself, who've got different parts of their mental health or different parts of their addiction, where they don't disclose, and they don't go through, and it's kind of like if their open communication's not there, if there's people who are, like say, socially distant, and they don't want to go into a meeting room, they don't want to sit in a group and discuss the problems, it's kind of like they've been ignored. So I think it's a case of now, as because of out of necessity, those people being brought in with these like Zoom meetings or Teams meetings or phone calls, where the NHS and that phoning you up on a weekly basis before the pandemic, was it didn't happen. And now, like I say, I've been having weekly phone calls from the Healthy Minds team, getting me having CBT over the phone on a weekly basis, and that didn't happen. I think going forward, if all this learning all this learning that people have had throughout this pandemic is used in a good way, and like I say, there's people who won't go into meetings, but you can phone them up and you can talk to them, you can help them that way. There's people who don't like to be phoned, but they'll happily sit on a Zoom call. Yeah. There's the people who don't want to do any of that and they want to go into the office. They want to talk to a person. And I think if everything's been looked at on a person-centered basis, and find out what's best for the certain individual to talk to get it through to them, whether that's the phone call, whether that's the online meeting, whether that is the face-to-face, I think, or whether it's just through post, through email, there's going to be different communication methods for different people. And I think that because, obviously, out of necessity, all these methods have been explored, I think that we need to keep all these methods open, like after the pandemic, and that's going to get more voices heard, and it's going to enable people to actually start making changes, whether that's the companies or the customers like yourself.
Fellow community researcher Chloe Harris, who, living with cerebral palsy and as a full-time wheelchair user, relies upon daily support, spoke about her involvement with the Keep Talking project, her experience of life before and during lockdown, the impacts it can have when dealing with isolation, and about her own role as a researcher.
How have things been for you prior to the pandemic and lockdown, and then transitioning through that?
Well, obviously it was really good for me to get involved with the Get Talking project, because I've struggled due to all my issues to find meaningful work. So Get Talking was a really good way for me to keep going out into the community and also to get involved and feel like I'm giving something back. And I have been able to get a little bit of money from it. So it's been, by no means enough, but a little bit of something financially to help me along as well. So, yeah, it's been really good. But then, obviously, with the lockdown, we kind of had to stop a little bit because we couldn't physically meet up anymore, which was the basis of what we do. So it's been tricky for me because I'm very outgoing, very sociable, but I have learned new ways to connect and communicate, which have been quite beneficial for me and made me realise that maybe there's more I could do that doesn't necessarily involve having to go to the house all the time, and maybe certain things could be adjusted so that certain access requirements don't need to be considered in the same way in order for me to participate more meaningfully in the things I'm doing, which in the long run will probably make life easier.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Keep Talking podcast. Be sure to listen in next time, where we'll be hearing from more of the community researchers. Until then, you can find out more by going to Twitter and following @NickStaffs, and also checking out the Keep Talking Staffs hashtag. Thanks for listening.